to look after. Try to get the oil of the poppy seeds, or sesame oil. Omar, he said, "Hi, Moshe Nairafet." He said that this one draws the oil better, so that's why he went after the sesame seed oil. Even the Shemal of the other Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Then when he heard what Rabbi Shimon Levi said, so he took olive oil. Why? Oh my, I told him the right thing. Because it's brighter. It's a brighter flint, you see. So the Gemara says that first, right. That's what the Rabbi Shimon Levi. So Abaye says first he used to go after what? He used to go after the, he used to try to get sesame oil, right? Then he went for olive oil. Why? Because olive oil is bright. So you see that there's no reason to take olive oil because it was both on ace. Otherwise, why did he try to get sesame oil? And the only reason to switch to olive oil was because said olive oil is a brighter flame.
You talking about Hanukkah?
Hanukkah, yeah. So you see that there's no union of the Jews using olive oil because it was both an ace. That was the reason. If he used to go both an ace, so then he should have gone so far, he should have gone and used olive oil.
Right, he shouldn't even bother with it.
Yeah, he shouldn't even bother with sesame oil. Why did he bother with sesame oil? Because.
Try to get the best flame.
That's the idea.
Right.
I want just to get the best flame.
Right.
So that's why one of them is showing him. Rebbe Lezmi Mitz says that an hour a day, candles are the best. Because candles get the best flame, better than olive oil, and they burns better, it's brighter, everything.
So, in trouble, yeah.
And with flour, I'll tell you this, that definitely the way they use the olive oil with the wicks, it definitely is very good.
Half of them go out,
and then they get big.
Butter, and they don't burn evenly. So definitely, I'll be dim. You should definitely, like Gemara said, if sesame seed oil was brighter, you would use sesame. So if you have a better flame, it increases the flame. You should have a good flame. That's why definitely you shouldn't follow that sheet at all. That the you use alpha plus bosnia, because there's no union like that. The Gemara isn't helping that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it seems like just the option is to brew, you know.
This is what the Rav Meisher holds from, and the Rav Meisher and the Rav both against.
That you should use candles?
They should. That there's no union of using alpha plus bosnia.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. It is, because you should light it by shkir.
Right. And a shkir, right?
About, according to the Rambam and many, you light it by shkir. That's when I try to light it, right?
By
shkir.
You just said the reason why. Just said the reason why it's supposed to do it right.
It seems like the,
I just want to get down the reason why it's supposed to do it, why it's supposed to burn how long.
Oh, the reason it's supposed to burn, you should use the candles, the Shabbos candles, is because it should burn as long as it takes for rush hour to be over, during the entire duration of rush hour. And that's approximately, I would say, at least 3 hours. You know? Or two hours, at least 4 to 6. And I mean, you don't light at 4, because it's before ski, you light at 4:30. So 4:30 till, say, 6:30. 2 hours, you know what I mean? So if you have oil, usually oil will last that long. But these little candles don't last long at all. So it's enough to, Rush hour?
No,
the Gemara of...
Shabbos.
Shabbos, that's given Gimel Amaral. It's the Gemara to Loyes. Amar Abaye. First is Amar Rishu Ben Levi, Koshman Akun Yafman Nehra, Shemen Zayas Min Amokwa. That's what it says. And then it says, Amar Abaye, Meresh Havam Adamar, Mishra Tshush.
I think it's the first part, about Shemen Zayas Min Amokwa.
They missed the
an hour. So
they missed the
because at that time that was the best thing to burn.
Of course, correct. Because high market nerds say, so first use sesame seed oil because it burns better. So you see, you didn't care about the effect of the alternate. So the buyer, a buyer is very, very religious man. So he was definitely the best thing. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara does an analysis. And the Gemara saying, after I heard of Yeshua Ben Levi, he said, then I switched to olive oil. Because he said, why is it best? Why does Shiva Lady say it's best? Because it burns brightest. Because it's brightest. It is true. You gotta notice it. If you look at the flame of olive oil, it's a brightness to it.
A bright yellow?
Bright. Yeah, a lighter, like a lighter yellow.
If you ever take a look at it, it's like a prayer cup.
Yeah.
It's just an act one, so that's more heat and mixture. That's that type of thing.
So it's not the olive oil itself, it's just the
yeah.
Olive oil burns better.
Exactly. There's nothing to do with it.
So if it's a candle burns better, then it's a candle.
There you go. The rub is candle. So you match this solo in the air. It's clearer and gives more light.
So Shabbos candle gives more light?
Shabbos candle, yeah, the candles are the best. I don't think anyone, unless the guy's a real pro, I mean, I don't think people could make a flame with a wicking oil that's going to burn as good as a Shabbos candle. I really don't
true.
Believe it, right?
See, Shabbos candles are about 99.9% of the time, run all the way down.
That's right. They don't make it.
Yeah, it's good to freeze them, too.
And the ones that do, sputtering and, putting that.
Freezing them also helps. You know, when you freeze Shabbos candles, they last longer.
Is that so?
Yeah.
That really works.
Yeah.
We put our cocktail candles.
Really? It really helps. In the freezer, it doesn't freeze.
We put our cocktail in the freezer. I don't know what. That's what they say.
Put them in the freezer. It's longer than far.
I understand.
There was another question. You had a question, right?
Yeah. The question was, if an artist has another, because we have signs, and,
right.
Then how can then what Mashiach has got to know when the Mashiach?
Ah, very good question. Okay. All right. I see you're thinking of things today. Okay, question was raised, you don't accept another because you give signs, right? So how do you know Mashiach when it comes, right? The answer is you can tell by the sign. I shouldn't regret that.
Well,
then you can't tell by his donkey, but there'll be a lot of donkeys just think that they Now, the truth of the matter is that the Rambam says, the Rambam explains how you own the ship is. And it's a very simple formula. And Hilchos Malachim. If you have a Rambam, you let us go. That's Mashiach, and the other one is that is Yedua that is Mashiach. Now, all these things depend upon certain requirements. So, well, first of all, he has to be the person himself. Has to be an individual. Shematar Mitzvah does that thing. More than that, though. He has to be a Chacham Gadol. It says Chacham Gadol Yehiyasu Mishlam, right? He has to be a tremendous Chacham. And he has to be a Navi. Navi also. Karvel Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? That's the requirements of the individual. Of course, he has to be an individual. Hey, give it Tera. That's a tremendous Tera. You know, works in Tera. And tremendous Lami, tremendous Lami. He doesn't have to be a Gav Adar. But he has to be a tremendous Chacham. Because the Rambam says, like, Davar Amar. Davar wasn't necessarily the biggest Chacham in the Dar. Gemara said that the Goshen sister was bigger than him. Doesn't mean he's the biggest Tamachach in the door. It has to be a very big Tamachach. A very big Tamachach. So, by the way, they said, everybody knows it's two Mashiachim, right? They will be, right? The Rambam? Two, yeah. The whole thing about the Mashiachim, and Yosef Mashiachim, David. The Rambam says the two Mashiachim are one Mashiach we had already. That was David and Ol. It was the first Mashiach. Because he was the one that wasn't Mashiach. He was the one that organized Klal Yisrael and created the situation where we had sovereign power, and then basically he was the one that that caused the Beit Hamikdash to be built. Because he's the fact that we had our Yisrael and we had everything that we needed. You see, so he was the first Mashiach. That's why I say Ali Day David Mashiach the Chacham. The first Mashiach.
We already had one.
There will be another one, though. And the other one, this is the way you could, this is the way you could tell, see? All right? Now. All right? Hilchos Malachim, paragraph out of Sir 11, and Halacha Dalet. Zehim Yamod Melech Mibeit David, he'll give a Torah, but also from his folks, Kedavid Adar. If there will arise a Melech Mibeit David who learns Torah and does mitzvahs like David and Melech, it says,
Peter Shabbat about that. He follows the host of Peter Shabbat about that. The Yachav Kodesh Yol Leilas Bar, in the Chazek, the Dasa, and it will coerce, or I should say influence all of the Jews to follow the Torah and to embrace the Das of Yadis. And then he says, the Yilochei Nochamas Hashem. He does those things. In other words, we know who the person is, we know what he does. He causes Klal Yisrael to learn Torah, right, and do mitzvahs. And then the Yilochei Nochamas Hashem, he goes towards us, the fight the battle of God. Hareza Bechet Kashim Mashiach. We assume he's Mashiach. We have to assume he's Mashiach. If he reaches that stage. See? Now, in also this Leah, in other words, at the time when he's waging war, he did the first requirement, which is to cause all of Israel to follow the ways of God, right? Then he decides to wage wars in order to free the Jews from their oppression, right?
Even if he doesn't win the wars, he just...
One thing, the moment he decides to wage wars, you have to go with him. Because you have to assume he's Mashiach, that's all. You can assume Mashiach.
But he's got to have all those attributes, right?
He has to be a person, Talmud Chacham, and he causes the Jews to follow the true doctrine. Now, in also this Leah, if he was successful, Ubon and Migdash can come out, and he built the Migdash in its right place. The key base is to Israel, and he gathered all the Nefesh Israel from all over the world. He gathered them together. Harei the Mashiach Bevaleh, then he's definitely Mashiach. Okay? That's the way now. That's the way now. But the Rambam before says openly in Alakha Gimel, Al Yal Al Dai Kashem, Alakha Mashiach Shurach Lachas Osus and Osus. Do not think that the Melech Mashiach has to do wonders and miracles. Mechadesh Zvon Ba'olam has to create new things in the world, new events, you know what I mean? Supernatural phenomena. Al Mechayim Eishim, of course, the dead till they become alive. The case is our male. Hey, that's our God. That's not the case.
Mashiach is actually taking...
Sherei Rekiva, Chacham Gadol, Nechachnei Mishnei. So Rekiva was a tremendous Chacham, Nechachnei Mishnei. Ruhi and Eishik Kel Shebenk Zubah Melech. And he was the one that followed me, and he followed the Bar Kokhba. He saw Bar Kokhba. Rehimahu, who are your Emma Lashu and Melech Mashiach? He saw Bar Kokhba Mashiach. Rehimahu, for Chachmei Dorish and Melech Mashiach. He thought he was Melech Mashiach. See? Hashanera got my school was killed. Kira Shanera, no the Lamb Shanera. And no, there was Mashiach. Lo Shalom Machachachachachach in Menelo, Oslo Mokhish. You don't find anywhere that the Gemara says that they asked Bar Kokhba to do so. See? Alright? The Torah will not change, there will be no changes in the Torah. The reason why Abraham mentions things, why Abraham mentions the thing, but the, you see the mistake, that's the mistake that the nature made, the Christians made with the Yeshua, Jesus. Because he claimed to do miracles, Machiah Mason, you know what I mean? And he claimed to do certain feats, you know what I mean? So certain supernatural phenomena, certain supernatural feats. That has nothing to do with Mashiach. That's an infantile idea of Mashiach. You know what I'm saying? It's an infantile idea of Mashiach. The idea of Mashiach has nothing to do with miracles. That's why none of the Jews, you see, Jesus in his time, it's true, had followers. He had like 30 followers, whatever it was. But none of the Jews took him seriously. Because they knew that that's not the form of Mashiach. I mean, the man wasn't Talmud Chacham. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't Talmud Chacham. He wasn't Hagi the Terror. He went around with his own nonsense. You know what I mean? And this was, he had to, so that's why they knew that he wasn't Mashiach. The only ones that took him seriously were the Christians hundreds of years later. But in his day, the Jews knew that he was nothing. He was not giving nothing. There was a lot of people who used to walk around saying the Mashiach. They had a lot of people in those days walk around saying Mashiach. The Sanhedrin didn't look at them. Nobody looked at them seriously. The only thing is that he became famous because of Paul. But he was the only one that Paul was the one that popularized. Changed the system a little bit, you know, took every mitzvah, the office things, you know. And so it just so happened that the world was looking for somebody at that time. And he was the one that they picked on and they ended something. You know what I mean? But he didn't fulfill any of the requirements of Mashiach. As we know from the story, nothing. Not one of them. Not as a person, not that he accomplished anything, nor did he bring any of the things that the terrorists is hoping Mashiach will bring, like peace of the world. I mean, nothing. There were more wars than before. Yeah.
Well,
no,
how will Mashiach know that he's supposed to go ahead and do all these things? He's going to be Tom Fakam, he said. So he didn't know from what he read, but he just heard this now. This is what he has to do. Or is Hashem going to tell him that he didn't specify how to do the same?
No, he knows what he has to do.
So he has to do it, right?
Well, the Rambam says, another question, Rambam says, Mavi Gavi Yeh. The last Rambam in the Rambam, in the whole set. It's not hard to find. It's next to the last parish, I should say. Now, let's see, it says, to free the Jews from their oppression and bring them down to Israel. You know what I mean? That would be the, in other words, if you're doing things, you won't be doing things that that person is going to have a musical voice telling you what to do.
To let them know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the natural thing to do.
What a big person to convince a non-religious people to go ahead and move to Israel.
Is the base of Midrash will be rebuilt also?
Yeah.
So we'll have all those other karbanos and everything.
By what right
is it going to
be
allowed to
make
the Jewish?
Why? Is it also built
down?
Mm.
No.
Yeah. Days
after
we
put them. Yeah, we can have a monster.
The monster is
a
what
called? It's a monster. Oh, you mean, but that, he can't start with the monster.
It starts
with Chazaka. Once he has
Chazaka,
then
he has to have a close roll. You have to have a close roll there.
All of Israel, of the whole world, let's say Israel?
Most of Israel, let's say.
What do you mean by most?
What is that? Be a talk. You can't have 70% unless you have be a talk.
Well, 70% or 80%?
70%. I don't know what it is.
But I'm sure there's, but most. But there'll still be people there'll still be people who won't believe in them?
Yes. There will be, but on the whole.
Jews too.
Well, yeah, but not the whole. On the whole, most of the Jews, 90% of Jews, will become religious and they will accept the yes.
That is to be some test.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
So he has to take the vote before he goes that
test. You think that'll be a time of the Zubiyam at that time? I mean, that there'll be other Zubiyam?
Yeah. The vote will come back to Prosper.
I mean, there hasn't been enough in.
That means we have people helping to spread the information.
That's right.
There hasn't been enough in a long time. Right?
Why?
Is that?
I don't know. There's no reason why it's impossible, especially in today's situation. If a person had the communications are possible today. You can reach hundreds of thousands of people. You know, I mean, look at the hospital at the Goyim, how they do it. Yeah. Billy Grant, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we want anybody like that, because that's not the type of influence that we, that you have this whole thing, that's so emotional, you know what I mean? But, there's no reason why it's impossible for a person to do it. If he has the ability, you know what I mean? Possible, there's no reason why. As a matter of fact, in these days, it's more possible than it ever was before.
You'd have a lot of wars, though, wouldn't you? Well, I mean, it would seem like there'd be a lot of wars, though, you know.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Let's say the Mashiach came and all the Jews started coming religious or anything.
There
would
be a
lot more anti-Semitism around, you know?
A lot of problems.
Yeah. That's what.
Yeah. It'd be even more of a task to do it then.
That's it.
It wouldn't be a war if they all went back to Israel.
What?
If they all went back to Israel, it wouldn't be a war. It would be a pretty war.
Well, I don't know. That's not these things. As Graham said, these things, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You can't.
You
know. Just like that,
yeah. Right.
What this guy is doing would be on the ego trip for really?
First of all, through a philosophical analysis, in which case the person... knows what the ideals are. You have to have a good knowledge of psychology. That's very important. Good knowledge of that's very important.
What?
Can't underestimate it. What?
It is very important.
Very important. A good sound knowledge of psychology. Very important. So that you know yourself insofar as you can, see? And then a constant, you know, a constant awareness. Once you have those two things, you'll become aware of the conflicts that are going on within yourself and be able to be tovish the ether.
Then you can work on it, what you're aware of.
You can work on it, work on it. Not to give in to an inclination which you know the activity is really not going to result in a beneficial thing, but it's just going to result in more involvement in that area. You know what I mean? And every person has their own thing. This person I want to show off, another person I want to hire, I don't know, whatever, you know, different emotions that people have, you see? But a person must recognize his emotions, and he must be willing to uproot them. Greed, and horizontally, kinon, and there's different types of different things.
They can destroy you.
They can destroy you. A person must notice these things, and he must recognize that to follow these things is a death sentence to his soul. Because to follow these things means that he's just going to be drawn into a vacuum where he's going to be drawn in more and more. The force increases as he draws, as he gets drawn in. And he's already lacks control and he's completely lost. Okay? But the readiness to stop it as soon as possible. On the contrary, the enjoyment that a person has from realization that he's pulled himself out from these base emotions is so great. On the contrary, of course, at the time, it's very little. But once he, when he does, when he does succumb, you know, and then he really gets successful, it's tremendous freedom. Freedom. Person, you don't realize the person is about to have no freedom. So the other day, I was with somebody's house, and they're showing me around their house. Very wealthy, expensive house. It must have cost close to $300,000 an hour, really. They were showing me this detail and that detail and this. I look at that, I thought to myself, I really feel sorry for these people. Steep like slaves. What difference does it make if the guy, how much work went in there to make this cabinet and that cabinet and this little nick and that little nick? I mean, it's really silly when you think about it. You know what I mean? Guy has tables that can place his body in this position over here next to a specific board, which is very smooth, which is placed in a certain position. There is no crack between the board and this end of the wall. I mean, it's silly. You really, what does this person need this for? No necessity for it. The person is evolving in terms of the universe. What's the difference between the man? It's silly. The person is evolving himself out of effort to work for the money in order to be able to, the effort necessary to work for money in order to be able to achieve this. And the person, that's nothing yet. It's just the beginning. The involvement. Do I want to think about smooth boards and boards with cracks in them and where they're placed? I mean, there's so many important things to think about. Think about a cabinet against the wall. I mean, that's an important thing for a person to think about in this world. It's fiction. But unfortunately, they have nothing else. So they're drawn into this thing. They become slaves to these activities. Yeah, what's that in the gym for the guy to get out of there? Well, he enjoyed showing me around, you know? My gosh, why didn't they do it? They sit there and look at those cabinets and just sit there for 3 hours. Silly. Person, thank God, a person in mind. He can sit and open the Gemara and work on a Svara and think about an idea, have a discussion, even if it's about Tola. I'd rather be involved in Batola than involved in that nonsense. Because Batola, if you're speaking with the guys in the yeshiva, guys on head. Something, you know what I mean? It's not Stam Batola. It's also a level. Yeah, it's a level, you know what I mean? So, Stam Kipshus.
But it takes time to work on it. I mean, it won't just come like that, will it?
No, it won't come like that. It takes time to work on it. You have to be able to answer.
You have to keep that being aware of
it.
Well, you see, it's like the Rambam says an important thing. Kovesh it's Yitro, and Rambam says, Kovesh Bedaito is Yitro. Puts in one word. Why did that go? Because just to suppress your emotions will never work. Never work to suppress your emotions. You can't do it. If you suppress your emotions and you don't give vent to your feelings, first of all, you should never prevent an emotion from coming to the mind. That's dangerous.
What do you mean by that?
No, yes. Like a person should never. Let's say, for instance, a person senses that let's say a person has type or something. So a sense that he has a type, right? So he might. I prevent it from himself from even realizing that he has that tiger. That's wrong.
You have to look at it, analyze and say, do you need it?
The tiger should be able to register in the mind.
And then work on it once it's
and
there.
And then, once it's there, and he sees it clearly, then he should be able to say, well, actively, well, let me see now, right? I may have this desire for this thing, right? The question is, what benefits will accrue me if I do this? Well, what benefits will accrue me on the contrary if I would involve myself in thought, you know, and do this? Now he has to deal with it rationally, in a rational way, not in an irrational way to suppress it, because that doesn't work. Suppression doesn't work. Suppression is a dangerous thing psychologically. You know what I mean? Just to suppress these things. You can't. A person must have full realization of all of this. But then he must handle any of them. Chazal were very, very, very much aware of that, that a person must have a realization of the, and not suppression. That's why Chazal said a person is sadistic. A person is vicious, sadistic, he should become a shaykh. Right? Because they recognize. And you recognize also that certain emotions you can't possibly handle all your emotions rationally. A certain person has to have some expression to give vent to a degree, otherwise you can't live. I mean, a person has to eat, has to sleep, has to needs, has wants. I mean, you have to have a certain amount. You can't just get married, you have to have these things. Because otherwise you can't live.
So, but a lot of the time, of course, like jealousy and all that stuff.
Yeah, see, that's the point. Those things, those the tithes that are the needs, you know what I mean? As far as like, I think Ram writes to his son. He says, he has an interesting thing. He says, let me just think of that. The idea was that a person should not, and see, most people in life are looking for temptation. They're advancing themselves toward temptation. You see? I go, what's the next thing I can, what's the next thing I can get? So they're out there looking for temptation to get them. So the Ram says, I think it was the son of the Ram, and said, it should be the opposite way. That let the temptation find you. Do you know what I mean? Like, in other words, you shouldn't be out there looking for the next taiva. But of course, if a taiva attacks a guy, it has to be a certain amount, unless he's really at a very high level, as far as he's a human being, there's a certain amount of satisfaction he has to, otherwise he can't begin with. But the point is, but beyond that point, I mean, he has to control his time. He has to control it. He has to exercise control. If there is no, if he doesn't exercise control, if he doesn't feel the painful withdrawal, then he can't possibly ever reach any height. I mean, it has to be a painful thing, though.
Oh, so it's definitely a painful thing.
Oh, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, it can be enjoyable, too. You can see why you're doing it. It doesn't hurt, but you see,
that's right.
if you look backwards at it,
that's
painful.
Right.
If you look forwards, it's not at all.
Well, the point is, at certain times, it's painful. In other words, at the time when the emotion takes hold of you...
You first break it home, maybe.
It's a hot, that's right. It's a hot thing. But later, after that painful thing, the realization, of course, is very enjoyable. And a person feels that he's free from all these times. It's tremendous freedom. You know, people are bogged down with this, that, that, this, that, that. They don't need these things. The freedom, on the contrary, there's a certain enjoyment in the freedom. You know what I mean? Like an enjoyment, like a backpacker's enjoyment. What's a backpacker's enjoyment? He has everything he needs on his pack. You know, he's out in the woods and he's got everything he needs. You know what I mean? That's a type of mushroom, a type of enjoyment. See? The man realizes he travels light through this world. No heavy baggage. He's free. He's free. His energies are free. So he really enjoys superior things than being bogged down with these materialistic things.
Yeah, but like, how about, not only materialistic, but how about like Ben Adam Haver, you know, like if he's, you know, jealous of the person or this or that. I mean, you got to work on those also.
Yeah, anyway, if he can't work on, in terms of jealousy, he can't work on, he can work intellectually on removing jealousy, but he mustn't suppress the jealousy. The emotion of jealousy can't suppress. What he should do is not allow the jealousy to force him to do any action. You know what I mean? If he senses, he realizes, he feels himself in jealousy, he shouldn't feel guilty about feeling jealousy. That's bad. Because it's a natural emotion. You know, he shouldn't feel guilty about feeling that jealousy. Because if he does, then he's just going to fool himself into thinking he's not jealous when he is jealous. You know what I mean? That he can't do. But what he should do is, he should have full realization that he has that emotion of jealousy. You know what I mean? And he should try to understand rationally why jealousy is really not sensible. Like he was saying, each person has his own reality, and if you need to compare, say that God has to make everybody equal is not sensible. You know what I mean? So therefore, he should realize that it doesn't make any sense. That's one. And secondly, insofar as the emotion takes hold, the emotion of jealousy takes hold of him. You know what I mean? He must, insofar as the emotion of jealousy takes hold of him, he must not allow it to cause him to act. You see? That's where he will find that when the emotion causes him to act and he controls it, that's when he will find that he will start breaking away.
So psychology comes in when you can analyze it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So psychology gives you an analytic mind?
I got it.
I got it.
Might as well
pull through.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
go
in the same boat. Does psychology give you an analytic?
I would say study logic is improving mind. But this, if you want to have an awareness and knowledge of yourself, then you should study psychology. And you should understand the basics of psychology should be understood. No question about it. It's very important. Very important subject. Very important subject.
So that you get into yourself more.
Are you studying it at all?
I guess it's time to try to break away.
Because
it's one of the old signs yourself. Well,
need that.
That's what I do. I don't really look at that. I just look at what I need to do.
I would suggest.
You better just look inside yourself and see what.
You don't have the knowledge of it, then. You let them come. Right.
Let them have total mental freedom.
Right.
Total. The question is activity. Activity, you have to make a difference between thoughts and activity. It's a very important thing. Chazal were very honest with their thoughts. Christians of Chazal, they were honest with their thoughts. The more since a buyer was on the road, and he saw this couple that were going together, and he said they didn't have intercourse. He said, if I would have been there, I would have started crying. Came to Beth Medrash, said, I wouldn't have been able to control myself. I got around this guy's own girlfriend, and controlled himself, said, I couldn't have done it.
For
you, that's the way it is. But the point is that you see the man was honest with himself. He said that he would not have been able to control himself. You know what I mean? So the point is that the greatness of Chazal was their honesty. That was the greatness of Chazal. It wasn't the people try to build up Chazal and make them like infallible. That's Wahhab deal. It's a Christian idea of perfection. Moshe made mistakes. And Moshe Rabbeinu were the greatest Navi that there ever was, that there ever will be. Made mistakes in halacha that women informed them about. They told the Pshat in Yavim, just for secure in Yavim, and he wanted to ask God. But we don't have this idea of a man. That's right, we don't have this idea of a man being an infallible creature. Only God is infallible. Man is infallible, right? Greatest man makes mistakes. Chazal were realistic. I just mentioned last week to the women that the story of Antoninus and Rebbe, I don't know if I have to tell you about it, I went through the cliff. The little dialogue between the emperor Antoninus and the Rebbe Nasi, you know? So it's a dialogue about when the HR comes into a person, that's what the instinctual forces of men, when they begin. We have a nice little dialogue. And Rebbe said one way, and Antoninus said the other way, and the Gemara says, Hoda Rebbe Antoninus. And not only was he motive to him, but he brought him around from the pasuk that he's right. You see that the greatness of Chazal, who today would say that a guy taught him something, I mean, which is Mechomish. That's impossible, what do you mean? He doesn't know anything, he doesn't know anything. False, that's right. People, the greatness of Chazal was their honesty. They were perfected beings, because they were honest with themselves, and they were looking for the truth. It wasn't a matter of ego. It wasn't a matter of the tribute enough to show that the emperor was right, the Jewish emperor was right about something, about the Pharaoh.
That's
perfection in man. Not infallibility. People make a big mistake, and that's why it's hard to do tshuva. People can't do tshuva for a simple reason. But they think that their super ego, their ego ideal, of a perfect person, the person that doesn't sin. That's not the ideal of the. That's why it's not the person to be true, because he has to admit that he made a mistake. I haven't made mistakes, impossible. The other doesn't know, that's not the perfected man. Perfected man is not a man that doesn't make mistakes. You see? The perfected man is a man who makes mistakes, but on the contrary, he's able to review his actions, and he can see where he made mistakes. That's the greatness of the person. Our idea of greatness is distorted. We have a distorted notion of greatness. See, Wahhabi, I mean, that's the idea, that's what Christianity came out with. That the person, the native of God, they have an infantile notion of greatness. It's an absurdity, Yeah, this greatness means, on the contrary, it means ability. Man has one ability. Emotions get all of you. Mistakes, there's an ability to recoil from the situation and to think it over rationally. And to improve himself in the next move. That's greatness. recognition and honesty. That's clear. Okay. That's Chazal. That was Chazal.
Well, then, because the poor is the one that says that thought can be more connected.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's for receipts and run on sentence. I still destroy my confidence. Then it's
how you do it. The Gemara says that in the Hebrew, as they were crushing their hair. Very good. All right, how do you know that, Chazal? Yes. But in Ruri Avera, Kashin Avera means the thought concerning an Avera is worse than the Avera itself. That means, those thoughts mean plans. That's what it means. It means the planning of the Avera is worse than the action itself. It doesn't mean the thought. You see? The point is, in other words, a person must be honest with his own emotion. There, insofar as the Avera is concerned, he must be honest and say, look, I have full realization that I have this taiva, and I'm honest with them. There's no question about that, see? But now, to plan to do it, that's what it means. The Ruri Avera over there means planning the steps. That's it, for instance, a person wants to live with Nesh Sish. So the thought that he has, this desire, is not the issue. On the contrary, he has to recognize he has that desire, because otherwise he's being dishonest with himself. On the contrary, the less he knows about himself in those terms, the more he'll fall prey to the situation. He's totally honest. But then if he starts making plans to live with his Nesh Sish, that's a Ruri Avera. And that's Kashin Avera. And Ram says, why is it worse than Avera? Ram says, because it's just an Avera, he's involved in the physical act. The body is involved in the physical act. And that over here, he's making plans, the mind, he's using the intelligence, is being misused, it's being used as a means for physical activity, where all physical life is only a means for intelligence. So he's distorting, he's turning God's plan upside down. All the reality is...
It'd be better to do that there.
Of course, the point is that he usually can't just do without plans. You know what I mean? But the Rambam says that... It's almost impossible, But the point is, that's the Rambam. The person is planning, like a person wants to steal something. Planning the robbery is worse, in a sense, than the robbery itself. Robbery itself is a momentary action, which is, of course, a fake bit. The monk agrees. But here he's using all his intelligence, which is given to man to appreciate the God, so he's using that intelligence as a means for his physical practice. So he's subverting the higher element of the self and the lower. See? If he's doing it, sin is involving himself in the lower, of course, it's a bad thing. But to subvert the higher to the lower is even worse. That's what the Ram explains, that a Ruri Avera is Kashin Avera. It's a nice explanation. But over there, Ruri Avera does not mean the thought. It means the planning and intent. That's what it means. It's a very good way to ask that question.
Where is the Rambam on
that? That Rambam is in the Marnah book.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, this verse doesn't mean these emotions, but I have these emotions for the fellow man, like jealousy, hate, and presence.
Yeah.
That means that it's all right to have these feelings.
It's all right to have these feelings. You can't say it's not a right to have feelings. Feelings are a natural thing. No person can. It's not all right or not a right to have any feelings. Nowhere in the Torah will you find an issur on having feelings. There's no such thing. No issur in the Torah. The issur in the Torah is for a person to cater to certain. It starts off with a feeling. But the feeling captures. That's what I'm saying. Here I've heard it. Not the feeling. Right. Plan to do the other. Plan to do the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Here is the Ruri Avera is a plan to the Avera. There's no way that there is an issue of realization of what a person wants. On the contrary, a person is being clear. Anistaros means those things which you don't know about ourselves, those unconscious things. That's what the Shema Alkeinu. But by Niglos, lo mo'ocho ne'en olam. Those things which we know, we're supposed to handle. You're not supposed to try to make Anistaros. And it starts with those things which are impossible, we can't know, you know what I mean? But the point is, the Negros is what we're supposed to work on, and the person should work on it. No, it's fucking tough.
So the only way we can work on it?
Yeah, I think it's the truth.
But you realize it, though. In other words, you're supposed to realize that, you know, hey, sometimes you're not supposed to do anything.
That's right. You're supposed to recognize the hate, and you should recognize the irrationality of the hate, and you should try to do something to uproot it.
Right.
Like, for instance, by the hatred of the person, you should try to do a positive action to help the person. And so we can talk about this. They can do it more so not for Rabbi Tzahat Masa. Why does the Torah say, if you see the donkey of your enemy that is lying under his burden, shut him out? Why? Because you're mechuyev to help out Sonei first.
if you hate the guy, start talking about first.
Because you can break it that way.
You break the emotion. Break the emotion. That's a method of breaking the emotion. That's a method of breaking the emotion. Sorry.
What? He realizes it now.
A person realizes it and understands, but he has to understand why it's harmful then. He has to understand why this emotion is a harmful and wasteful emotion.
All right.
You know? Now, once he understands it's a harmful and wasteful emotion, then he has to do an action which will counter it.
He's got to go
well,
down.
Not to, well, or not to
an action. Say
either one of you. He doesn't have to go around looking for it, but the point is, it'll eventually come to time. Let's say, for instance, you don't like the guy, right? For no reason at all. You just don't like him, right? And the point is, if you don't like it, because you have contact with him some way, right?
Right.
And the point is, sooner or later, you have a situation where you can help the guy out and do that for him. Now, if you don't do it, then you're feeding that hatred. See, if you do it on a country, you break the emotion.
Please stay away from the guy.
Well, the point is that if, yes, the person has to be a chacham. See, if a person sees that he can't break the emotion, it's impossible for him to break the emotion. So then they'll have to say, look, the best thing is to stay away. It's also, it's not as bad as being involved in actively hating. But if you can break the emotion, you should break the emotion. In other words, you should do whatever you can as far as your level is concerned. You have to realize that you can't jump totally in kind of panic and overnight. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not an easy thing. We're talking about it here. It's not very easy. But emotions are very deeply rooted. So you have to realize you have to take measures, but you should take the measures. You should be happy to take in-between measures, too. As long as you're doing something in the area. You're working on it. Right, exactly. You can't expect overnight to break it. It takes years and years. I mean, and then you'll find that the more emotions you break down, then you find other things you didn't realize that you had. Yeah? Yeah, but the point is that you keep on improving all the time. Your life increases in terms of happiness all the time. Definitely. You improve your life tremendously. You know you're moving. So you should be happy about that. That's why a person has to work on that. You might only think over the different things and really work them through. Learning. Motion of laziness is a big emotion too. I mean, it's not just tin and banana and barrel. He has only one personal emotion. Laziness, to work on that, to force himself to be able to put in time and learning and effort in learning. That's a very important thing. I think it's one of the most important things. You know what I mean? It's, even though he's happy that laziness is not harmful emotion, no, it's harmful to himself. It's more harmful than any other thing in certain respects. You know, the person has to work to overcome it. He might not be able to sit down on 12 hours a day in one shot. They should work, they should start little by little. Start working an hour without any Bartolo. Start 1 hour without Bartolo with an effort, constant effort of learning for an hour. Almost anybody can do that. The person should try to, should work on it. I'll find it after a while. Be able to increase the amount of effort he puts in, you know?
Takes work.
It takes work. But the point is, let me put it this way, in terms of this life, it is the only work that really pays off. That really pays off. Directly in the person's happiness. It's a worthwhile thing. It's a worthwhile thing. Because it deals with the person where he really lives in an inner nature, in a self. Not an external, but an inner self.
It causes him to do all these things.
Right. That's the important thing. Okay, right,
Daddy? This, you can ask that. Well, there's a whole disease thing, right? In other words, like first there's a enlargement, right? Then a vein break. So we're having a whole series of things, right? Wouldn't the question be, why was this the first thing to go?
Yeah.
So the answer, we're dealing with psychological phenomena. Right. Why is the amal the first thing to go? Why does the mitzvah go first?
Well,
yes? How could you say that as long as you're being unmale, you haven't learned it? But why is this disease? You see, we're talking about a certain disease, right? You follow what I'm saying? The guy has a certain disease over here. Why is it strike? Well, why is it strike first over here? What causes the amala? I think it's like what he's saying. I personally think that, you're not going to dwell on this too long, but it would appear that this is really the biggest challenge of all, you see? The hardest thing is amala b'tara, I would say. The hardest thing is the biggest demand is thing of all. The most difficult requirement from a purely psychological point of view is amenu b'torah. And that's like, that's where the first break occurs. Now why, like, it's very demanding. I mean, you can explain this. I think, why would you say amenu b'torah is the hardest of all? You do see it. Don't we see it in reality? Huh? Yeah, so what? But time is only an accident. So what?
Because
it's the most painful. Yeah. Why is it the most painful? You see? He's right. Well, you're all really saying the same thing. And put yourself into the world of thought. So it requires a tremendous degree of suspension of the libido, discipline, control over the libido. At first it's painful. Of course, eventually when your libido is rerouted into the learning, then it becomes enjoyable, so then it's the greatest pleasure. But until you reach that level, it's very, very painful. And that's what...
Years.
How long? Not long.
30 days. That's what I
say. I don't spend too much time because it's interesting to analyze psychologically all the causes. But you'll see, in mixed race, there's also the same thing. In other words, mistress goes against the guy's emotion, right? The guy might have a tiger to do one thing. You follow? You have the same phenomena. So why is our mola different? I think, again, I'm not going to spend... I don't want to spend too much time.
What's the translation of mola?
Again, our mola... Yeah. I say mitzvah is different. First of all, there's a few reasons why it's different. First of all, it's not a complete. Like, you can't have, let's say, in the tithe, you can't have one thing, but you can have the outlet in a different way, so a guy can control it. You see? You follow what I'm saying? Like a guy. No? What's wrong? What's wrong? In other words, like, you tell a guy to last 4 hours, right? So that's like a long, that's like a long period. Also, there's another factor. The degree of time involved, you see? Like a mitzvah is a one-time thing, right? You do a mitzvah, right? All right, so let's say for 10 minutes you got to get yourself together. You can't do something else, but then the mitzvah is over, you see? It's not, and also the mitzvah does not involve that tremendous degree of mental involvement. You see what I mean? You can still, a guy's not forcing his mind into a certain area. You say, yeah, it's very simple, right? It becomes rote, but learning can't be that way. Learning means you have to muster, you have to take, a guy's energy can still be, he doesn't have to reroute the energy, that's a shot. In mitzvahs, a guy does not have to reroute the energy that much. A guy's energy can still be in the other areas, right? And just sufficient amount of attention to do the mitzvah. How much attention do you need to do the mitzvah? You follow? But learning requires total attention. There you have to have rerouting. It all gets back to rerouting. He's correct, the lady. But I could spend like an hour and we can cover a lot of good points in this thing. I don't want to do it right now. I think you understand, therefore, why, from experience, and also psychologically, why the first breakdown will occur in the amal. It's easier. It's much easier for a guy to be a guy that does the mitzvot and it's not a male in the Torah. The real challenge is a male in the Torah. To get a guy, because even if a guy's keeping mitzvot, right? The restrictions are less, as I say. A guy, so he's not eating this food, he's eating a different food. He can reorganize his life that he has all the time. You see? He has to do certain actions, he has to get up and do the yalulim. How much energy does that take? It's a minor amount of energy. And even when he's doing it, he doesn't have to concentrate, have to take his... He can still be involved in business. These guys involved in business. He doesn't have to... A guy's thinking about sports, you see? He gets up in the morning, thinks about sports, all right, picks up the law, does that, and he's right back into sports. You understand? You don't have that mental break. Learning needs, you've got to get your mind totally out of the other areas, and that concentration in the subject matter itself is difficult, you see? It's like it's an effort. You've got to make an effort to view the abstract. It's a tremendous drain on the guy's emotional energy. So he naturally wants to get away from it. You follow what I'm saying? You have a general picture. That's why I'm mola, but that's why people bottle. That's bottle when you come in, you know, and sometimes you learn, but there's always that challenge because it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Your energy is going towards a different area. You want to talk about something in the news. You want to schmooze about something, right? And learning at first sight is a painful thing. You got to break that off and put your energy in a thing where you don't have gratification. You don't have gratification right now. That's the first thing to break down, okay? You'll always have, as I say, it's always the minority of the minority that's really a male in the Torah. That's the first thing to go. All right. Now, what's the next thing? He stops doing this thing. Why did he stop doing this thing? Let's just say it. Let's understand. Why you stop doing this? What? Okay, what's the answer to this question?
The question is
about the mitzvah that we call mishpatim, in other words, that everybody would do. You see? The whole thing is not talking about that. The Ramban points out about that. That's different because people, even if they're not learning, they see the necessity for laws about murder. That'll accept. So what about arayos, nida, kashrus? Yeah, well, whatever. Chukim or things that are immediately apparent. You follow? Chatanay, things like
that.
Yeah, things for which he really doesn't see any reason for them. Those will stop doing. And he says, very nice. He says that why was he doing it? Because why should he do it? It's going to be nothing but a big burden. In other words, what you're saying is definitely correct. I just think there's more to it. Mark said it before. You have the right answer, you see? Because, in other words, there is a burden. There is a burden to doing it in the mitzvah. Where's the burden in the mitzvah? That the mitzvahs conflict with the guy's instinct. You see? So what happens is like this. that when the guy is involved in learning, right, so two things happen. He's changing over his whole energy system from the instincts into the learning, right? Oh, you see? And that becomes, so therefore for him it's not a conflict. It's the opposite for him. It's in line with his philosophy. So when the guy stops being a mobile tyrant, it's not just that he's not getting knowledge. It means all of his energy is involved in the tyrant. So that mitzvah is nothing but a conflict. And of course, it's what he says is 100% correct. It's an emotional conflict for which, I'll tell you if it's an emotional conflict. See, you have to have his answer too. It's a very good point. I'll tell you why it's got to be two things. Because you'll tell me, since he's not involved in tyrant, means that he's involved in the tyrant. So therefore, what do we see? So then every mitzvah will be a conflict, you know? Needs all these things will be conflict for him. Oh, so therefore he'll do it. You'll say no. But stealing is also a conflict, right? And yet he does it. So you see that it's not enough to say it's just a conflict. That's why you need his answer. Ah. That something conflicts with his instincts does not necessarily mean he won't do it. There could be other reasons, you see? Because stealing. Cheating on his taxes or whatever, right? I mean, guy's a tyver to, not to be dishonest. A guy is a type to do things that are wrong, to steal from the other guy, you know, in different situations. It conflicts with him. He's about type. So why does he break that? Because he'll admit that there's a necessity for it. It makes sense to him. He says you cannot have a society. I mean, the guy's just still up. So where you had, in other words, in order to give up the mitzvot, you have to have two conditions. It must be against the guy's emotions. It must be against his emotions, right? Because if it's in line with his emotions, he won't give up. For example, the guy might even do like a seder. A lot of people have a seder. It's in line with the guy's emotions. You see? But the guy just has a seder and violates everything else. That's the category he's giving up the mitzvah. That doesn't mean he's not keeping mitzvah. Yeah, it's just in line. He'll make up a mitzvah for his kid because it's in line with his emotions. But generally speaking, he won't keep the system of mitzvah because they conflict. And he sees no reason for that. See, there's no reason. In his mind, there's absolutely no reason. If there's a reason, then he has. Yeah, that's right. That's the both. You see? So he loses out in both in learning. He loses the. In other words, that all his energy is into the end. He has no other pleasure for the end. That's right. He has no reason to control. So you heard what you said was good. But Mark, what you said was correct too. Your first approach was he becomes instinctual. But why, from there, you went off on a different track? And the obvious, if he's instinctual, so the mitzvah is nothing more than the conflict. Okay? You follow?
Not so good?
Alright. The next step will be you'll give up the mitzvah. Alright? Well, it doesn't mean necessarily every individual, but there's a certain... Alright. So we say why? Because he said that the mitzvot, right, conflict with the guy's desire in many areas. Correct? For example, the guy wants to eat a cheeseburger. The mitzvah comes along and says no. He has a conflict. Okay? Alright. So we say, now a guy that's involved in learning, for him it's no conflict. Because he's taken his energy out of these things, right? And his energy is now attached towards towards wisdom, towards Chachmas Hashem. So therefore for him, the mitzvah is fine. He enjoys doing the mitzvah. It's not a conflict for him. You follow? But the person that's not learning, it means that his energy is involved in all the physical. So he wants the physical. So the mitzvah will be a conflict. So there will be a conflict. And he won't understand why he should not break it down, right? So therefore, stop doing the mitzvah. Does that make sense? That's what he said. That's what he said. Now I'll ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. We just got finished saying that. What about Messias? We see that there are many people that aren't on the Almatira, right? And they keep the mitzvah. As a matter of fact, we see the majority of the. Look, you know what? Don't give me. They don't.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
Well, what does it mean if it doesn't mean that? A possibility, right? Raji didn't say possibility. Raji did say, yeah. But we see from reality that these people, for 50 years they're doing it. Say that if he marries her, he'll wind up hating her, right? So that I take that it doesn't mean necessarily every guy will wind up hating her. What does it mean then? What does it mean? If so, why are you telling us that this is going to happen? Yeah. Yeah, in other words, it creates, even like this, there's a certain predisposition that's been created. That's the next step. In other words, one leads to the other. Now he is in a situation to give up the mitzvah. There might now come along another thing, and he won't fulfill it. We're looking from the point of view of the gavra. In the development of the mind of the person, he is now ready, he's a candidate for giving it up. That's what we want to explain, why he's a candidate. That's right. He's in the... I would say now, somebody has to go and give him $1 million not to give it up. So you can tell me that's not a contradiction. If there is an extraneous, in other words, we mean barring any extraneous factors, right, that will influence the person from the condition. In other words, he's going from one step to the next. He's putting himself in that condition. He is much closer now. Why? Because of the conflict. Oh, now, it could be, however, that there might be other factors, but the Torah is talking about the inner guy. Vis-a-vis development, the teaching of the mitzvah is sent from the inner condition of the guy, from the proper motive. See? Oh, it could be. Let's say he's in a Jewish society, right? And there's a social thing, or he's got a superego. Oh, he's raised. What? I know that's what he said. I didn't argue that point. Rodney is the first guy to say it, right? Rodney said emotion. I wanted to show it, but I asked you, what then does the Torah mean? You didn't answer that. What Torah doesn't mean, it's not predicting results. The Torah is telling us, it's charting the course of the mind. You follow? Well, the Torah says that it'll create a predisposition now not to keep the mitzvot. I ask you why. Oh, that's the best answer. Why, if a guy stopped learning, he's much closer now. Now he's doing it. He's doing it for a reason, because he has an emotion, because he was part of a from family, because he's in a from society. If any one of those factors will be removed, he'll break the system. And the truth of the matter is, where do we see that in fact they do break the system? Because there's a conflict. Where's the conflict in that area? The other area, there's a conflict, but there's a superego force. For some reason, they've broken down the superego force over here. Yeah. So that's what we mean. Do you follow? Good. Yes. Very, very good. The guy is being governed, I would say that the guy, the thing is, like, really, it is a true phenomenon. That most people that don't keep the system do not have, normally don't have neutral. Please stop that, Joe. normally do not have neutral emotions towards the people like you. It's an interesting phenomenon. You see, there's a lot of hostility. Of course, I'm not saying again, there are a lot of people that don't have this feeling. Because it depends upon a number of factors. But the question is, if a guy, live and let live. This guy has stopped learning, right? He doesn't keep. He should be happy. What does he care if other people keep it? It doesn't take away from his pleasures in life. But the thing is like this. As you pointed out very well, there's one emotion that the guy must... You must assume that the guy has one emotion. What's that emotion?
Guilt.
Because he's not that convinced, in other words. The thing is like this.
It's a conflict.
In other words, it's not just a matter. These guys will tell you, of course, they'll tell you that, I don't believe in this. Yes, it is, you know, fairy tales and this and that, you know, like a book was written 3,000 years ago. But these guys, you might see these guys in Rosh Hashanah Kippur Shul. You might see them there, you know? And when somebody in the family is very, very sick, you know, they might have to make a shibarak for them. You'll also notice that any time there's a death or something, when it comes to the funeral, that's like,
Funeral
is different.
Truth of the matter is that they still have a certain amount of guilt. A guilt about the fact that they're not doing the correct thing. Now my question is, but this doesn't explain much. One second. What do they do with the guilt? The guy has guilt, so what it is, things like this. We have to know why he's Moed Bacherim Ha'osim.
They remind him.
One second here. Why, what happens with the guilt? You're saying, what happens with the guilt? When the guy feels guilt, what does he do? He himself has to live with it. This guy has changed his way of life. Now, if the guy is going to stay with the guilt, there'll be a conflict. He'll be the guy. That's the guy in the bar park. He said it's not the mitzvah. Let's be clear. We said like this. We said it's not everybody that stops on mailing, right? There are guys that do keep it, right? Why they keep it? Because guilt. So now you're telling me the guy that doesn't keep it must be the guy that doesn't have guilt. So now you're telling me he's nice because he doesn't have guilt. How can it be, right? On the one hand, in order to be the guy that gave up the system, right? It means he doesn't have the guilt, which would keep other people in the system even after they're not a male to tell him. Now you tell me, why is he more than others that do it? Because he feels guilty. Well, that's a contradiction. How is this guy different? If he feels guilty, how is he different than the guy that's keeping the system out of guilt? What's the difference?
Because you see, this guy is in conflict, so therefore he represses...
That's the answer.
He sees them.
They both have guilt. Except there's a question of quantitative factor in guilt. How much, you see? Or other factors as well. Because some people have guilt, and they can't repress it. You see, their upbringing was so powerful, they just can't. In other words, the guy can't repress it. He doesn't want to do the mitzvahs, right? But if he would not keep Shabbos, then yeah, it would be impossible. And other guys, right? That's what's the problem. A lot of guys were born religious. At first, you know, the first time they traced, they were real. The guys told me this. The first time they traced, I mean, they supposed to be, mother was going to come out of the... it didn't happen. The next time, now those people are guilty. What they went through a process of repressing the guilt. They can deal with the guilt. See? But you see on Yom Kippur, you see it, that the guilt is still there. But in order for them to go ahead with this way of life, they must have repressed the guilt. Oh, now a guy represses the guilt. Now what happens over here? What's my slach here, my? That's the thing. You see, there's two sources of guilt. You see, what are the two sources of guilt? There are two superegos. There's the internal superego, and then there's the external superego. You see? The external. Internal superego means, like what? Your own, in other words, your own feelings. Yeah. External means it's all society. A lot of people, see, that's the thing of the God and the government. And a lot of people, the internal superego doesn't bother them. They'll sin privately. But publicly, they can't do it. They're ashamed. Not just because of what people think of them, but also it brings out their guilt.